Mark 16, and the second verse. And very early, on the first day of the week, they come to the sepulchre, the sun having risen. And they said to one another, "Who shall roll us away the stone out of the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they see that the stone has been rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right, clothed in a white robe, and they were amazed and alarmed. But he says to them, "Be not alarmed. Ye seek Jesus the Nazarene, the crucified one. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they had put him." And a few pages further on in Luke's Gospel, in chapter 4. Luke's Gospel, in chapter 4, verse 40. "And when the sun went down, all, as many as had persons sick with divers diseases, brought them to him. Having laid his hands on every one of them, he healed them. And demons also went out from many, crying out and saying, 'Thou art the Son of God,' and rebuking them, he suffered them not to speak, because they knew him to be the Christ." I've read in these verses, firstly, about the rising of the sun. And in the second scripture, about the sun going down. These are two events to which great majesty and splendor are attached. And they happen every day of our lives. I'm not saying that we see them every day of our lives. Perhaps we are more familiar with the sun setting than the sun rising. But you know, since the Creator, that time when the Creator set the light in the heavens, the sun, there's not a day passed when the sun hasn't risen, and at the end of that day, the sun gone down. Many other things in our lives and in generations past have changed, but these things are a witness to the power and majesty of God. Man had nothing to do with him whatsoever, that every day the sun rises and the sun goes down. And when the sun rises, let's think of it, first scripture. The sun rises. Darkness of the night begins to be pushed away, little by little. The nocturnal creatures that have been active during the night return to their lairs, return to their homes. And with the coming day and the light of the sun rising, the earth begins to awaken. Plants begin to come to life again. We often miss out on the details of creation. The earth awakens and it comes to life. Another day has dawned. And as that sun rises over the horizon and the darkness is pushed away, you know, the light of a new morning, the light of a new day, comes about. And first of all, that rising sun brings light. But as it goes higher into the heavens, along with the light, it brings warmth. I just want you to consider at the start of this preaching the magnificence of what God has done in creation. But that's not what the preaching's about. Wonderful as his handiwork in creation was. One day, when the sun rose, one day, amidst the thousands of days that have occurred in this planet in which we are, one day, an event happened that outshone the rising of the physical sun. What event was that? It was the rising of the Son of God from the thraldom of death. What a morning. The sun already up. But that sun rising that day was eclipsed by another rising. And that rising involved that Jesus, the Son of God, was loosed from the pains of death. And he rose from the dead. Why was he in death? Why had he been in death? He'd been in death because as there was no one else who could take on the work of my redemption and yours, he alone took it on. You and I were sinners in our sins. Every creature under the sun had the stamp of sin upon them and could do nothing to eradicate that stain of sin. And into that breach, God sent his Son, Jesus, to remove the stain of sin from God's world. To remove the stain of sin from man's heart, from your heart and from mine. And he sent his Son into this world. I don't need to quote John 3:16. It's well known. But there is encapsulated the story of God sending his Son in order that you and I, mankind, would come into life. And in order to remove that stain of sin, the Lord Jesus had to take on the burden of sin himself and go to Calvary's cross and suffer what was due to you and I. Suffer at the hands of God. And that was unsparing judgment. And God meted out what he really felt about sin. Not in you, not in me. He meted it out on the person of his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And having endured that judgment, having finished the work, Blessed One, deliver up the Spirit and enter into death. To be held by death. It had held every other man and woman who had died. Millions had died. He entered that domain to be held by it. He couldn't be held by it. What a battle. Not only the battle of the cross, as we've sung of in our hymn, but the battle when the power of death wielded by Satan was wielded against the one who's my Savior. And who triumphed? Who triumphed? These women went to the tomb and they brought aromatic spices that they might embalm his body. Loving hands had taken him down from the cross that he'd been on, and they took these spices to embalm his body. And then it says they looked. They were worrying about the stone that had been rolled over the front of that cave or that great tomb. Not only a great stone, does it say here that it was very great. But then they must have worried too about the Roman guards that were there to ensure that no one stole his body away. And the seal that was put on the stone. You can imagine what was going through their mind. They said to one another, "Who shall roll us away the stone?" And when they looked, they see that the stone has been rolled away, for it was very great. This had never, ever happened in the history of man, that someone who had died by his own power had vacated death and broken the power of death and risen from the grave. Says they entered into the sepulchre and they saw this young man, and he sees they were alarmed, and he says, "Ye see Jesus of Nazarene, the crucified one. He is risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they have put him." I would just like you quickly, as you sit in your seats tonight, to visit these places. First of all, visit the cross. We sang of it in our hymn. Just consider the one who was put through Pilate's judgment hall, who was maligned, who was crowned with a crown of thorns, who was put on that cross. That's the next place. Put on that cross. And the darkness that covered the whole earth for 3 hours. Just ponder it. Then I want you to visit another place with these women. Visit the tomb where he was held. And what do you discover? It's empty. It's empty. Mm. The one who was there has risen from the dead. The epistles tell me he was raised by the glory of the Father. Gospels tell me he rose himself from the dead. No one can hold this blessed one. He's not there. Where is he? I want you by faith now to visit another place. Visit him where he is as crowned with glory and honor in the presence of God the Father. A man out of death, the Lord Jesus, is the central theme of the glad tidings. Every other religion may claim its theories, claim this, claim that, but the gospel that I preach is centered on a man, a living man out of death. When Jacob heard that Joseph had been discovered in Egypt, what was his words? "Joseph is yet alive." And I'll tell you this, the Savior I present is alive to die no more. He lives in heaven. And God, as he encourages men to consider their position, as he demonstrates their sinfulness before him, and leads them to the cross of Calvary, and leads them to the fact that the one who suffered there is risen from the dead, he invites you and every man to put their faith and trust in a man who's not only finished the work he was given to do, but has broken the power of death and lives in heaven. And God is offering him as a savior for the vilest sinner. Now tell me, it's wonderful to think of that physical sun rising and setting every day. But was there ever an event to equal the fact that my Savior, your Savior, on one of these days when the sun rose, he himself rose from the dead, having met all the liabilities of mankind and glorified God. But more, he rose, and in his hand he held the keys of death and Hades. What a Savior. A triumphant Savior. I merely paint the background of the sun rising and setting to just magnify the wonder of the event that God's man, the man whom God has selected, the man whom God has chosen, has been in there in the depths of death, but he's now out triumphant, and God invites you and I and every man to place their trust and faith in this precious, precious Saviour. I probably should have read about the sun going down first. When the sun went down, as I said, there's something very majestic about the sun and its rising and going down. Could I just say that the sun's going down in this world in which we live? The sun has been in the heavens, shining the grace of God and God's creature all through this dispensation, but the sun's going down. And when the sun goes down, the last opportunity to take advantage and seize the opportunity of God's grace will have gone and gone forever. The sun's going down. Another way of looking at it is that as you get older, the sun begins to go down. That's just the fact of life. The sun's going down. But I've read of a day in the life of the Lord Jesus after the sun had gone down. And bear in mind, these countries are a lot warmer than our countries. And no doubt, the central theme in this verse for Lord Jesus, he had had a busy day. All his days were busy. Bringing relief to persons, bringing healing to persons, teaching his disciples, helping them to follow him. All his days were filled full. And at the end of this day, it says, all, as many as persons sick with divers diseases, brought them to him, having laid his hands on every one of them, he healed them. What a life was the life of the Lord Jesus, you know. Trying to get a doctor's house call today, you have very little hope. But you know, call on this doctor, call on this physician, and he would be answering that call immediately. These persons came to him, all with a variety of diseases. He was no specialist. He was a physician who was out to call sinners to repentance. And he touched. This is what affected me here. And having laid his hands on every one of them, he healed them. Isn't that beautiful? And dear friend, if you and I have come into the blessing of salvation, it's because we've had personally to do with the Lord Jesus. It's not mass conversion. Each person putting their faith personally in the Lord Jesus, having laid his hands on every one of them, he healed them. This was just one day.